Last couple of weeks, we've been looking at how to prepare for Christ's coming in the midst of a chaotic world and in the midst of a world that might be antagonistic towards us. This week, we get into the week of joy, that we have joy coming through in our first and second reading, and yet we also hear, as this in this preparation process that we have been working on, that we're not really certain if we're ready. Have we made preparation as we should? This is what John is lifting up to the people who have come out to him in the wilderness. We now hear about these crowds who have gathered around them, and his first pastoral words to them are, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" This isn't Matthew's gospel where that's directed against the Pharisees. This is directed against everybody who is coming out to John in this wilderness. And we know this is the question that invites reflection of us as well. Who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? And then he will say, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Don't just say you want to change. Bear fruit. Come to make ready for God to enter in. This is our goal. This is what we want to do this Advent season. And so we might wonder, what does that look like? Well, that's the question that is asked to John. What does this mean? A very Lutheran question, by the way. Or perhaps Luther stole it from here, from John. What does it mean to make ready for Christ to come? Well, John says, if you're of the people of Israel, you can't rely on that. You can't say, well, I have Abraham as my father, so I don't have to do anything to get ready. He says, no. God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. No, to bear fruits worthy of repentance will mean giving your extra coat to someone who has none, or your food to somebody who has none, caring for the needs of your neighbors around you. That's fruit worthy of repentance. And presumably we have some Gentiles in the crowd, these tax collectors and soldiers, who also ask, well, if we're not of the people of Israel, what should we do? John's advice to them is pretty straightforward. Do your job. If you're a tax collector, don't take more than what is prescribed for you. If you're a soldier, don't extort money from people by either threatening them or bringing false charges against them. Be satisfied with your wages. To us, this sounds simple and straightforward. Wow, that's all it takes to get ready for Christ to come. I think I can do my job description. I'll try to, you know, pay attention to the people around me. Maybe I can give a little extra here and there. It's the giving season after all. And yet we know all too well that there are probably things today that would sound simple and basic that we aren't doing. Just as these would be fruits worthy of repentance in John's day, if people acted in this way, they would notice, hey, there's a change in them going on. There are probably things today that would be profoundly different if we did them, even though we know, and most people would know, we should do them. A few that come to my mind. Don't post to social media something you don't know is true. Don't post something that is hate-filled or harmful to somebody else. Don't think the worst of others. Don't tell jokes that belittle people or groups. The list could probably go on. But the fact that there is a list, and one that we could think of, and I'm sure others could add other things to it, indicates the challenge that we have. We are not ready for Jesus to come. because we are not bearing fruits worthy of repentance. We are still doing things, collectively and individually, that anybody could tell us we shouldn't do. Just as John can tell tax collectors and soldiers do the bare minimum here, folks, of being decent folks and living out your job as you should, so too do we need to hear that there are some bare minimums that we are not upholding. And the challenge here is that these things that we're not doing, that we know we should, are not going to be allowed in God's coming kingdom. God will have no time for our petty arguments, for our bitterness, for our malice against one another, for our shortcomings. No, all of this will be destroyed, will be removed. This is what John is getting at right now. The axe lies at the root of the trees, ready to strike down those that do not bear fruit. God will stand opposed to all that is against God's kingdom. And all of those aspects of ourselves and in our societies that are not living as God would have us live will be cut down. Now, hearing this, we realize we're probably not ready for the almighty, all-powerful God to draw near to us. We're not ready for this God who is holy and righteous to see us as we are. And if God were to show up, we would probably be a little afraid, have a little anxiety about that. And yet we hear in our first two readings that, well, we shouldn't. Do not be afraid, we hear in our reading from Philippians. Don't be dismayed or anxious, we would hear in Zephaniah. We would say, but do you guys know what the situation is here? They would say, yes. But let me tell you something. There is joy, true joy, to be found in the Lord's presence. We should not be afraid or anxious of God drawing near to us. We should rejoice. This is what Paul says to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul is stressing this to them. There is joy to be found in the presence of the Lord. There is joy to be known that the Lord is near, that we can lift up our needs and our requests to God through prayer and supplication, and that God will respond by giving us peace. We may not get everything we ask for, but by golly, we will receive a peace that the world does not know. A peace that the world cannot give, that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is what comes from knowing the Lord's presence in our lives. Zephaniah also says there is joy from the Lord being near to us. The Lord is in our midst. The Lord grants us victory, salvation. This is good news. Elsewhere in Zephaniah, we hear that the day of the Lord is not all hunky-dory. There is some challenge. There is some darkness mixed in with this day of the Lord. And yet, Zephaniah is abundantly clear. Having God be with us is much better than God being away from us. Zephaniah knows it is the sin of the people, this uncleanliness about us that has driven God away, and the people have to sit with the consequences that their sin would demand, and this has led to the pain of exile. And here is a song of hope that is expressed for the people that says, God will come and take away those judgments against us. God will forgive us and gather us back together. God will save the outcast and the lame and will bring us home. This is a word of joy and hope for the people of Judah and Jerusalem in a hard and difficult time. Zephaniah is saying, this is what the Lord's presence accomplishes. We need God to be our God and to draw near to us. And this is good news. This is the good news John is exhorting the people to know today as well. As he tells them, it is not me who you need to pay attention to. I will try to get you ready. I'll try to tell you about the fruit that you could bear to prep for Christ to come, but there is one who comes after me who is far greater than I am. He will not just baptize you with water, but with fire and the Holy Spirit. We know this is Christ. And John is saying this will be very good for us. There will be wheat that is gathered in, chaff that is burned away. And what we are to know is that whatever Christ's presence may bring to us, whether Jesus needs to hack away the roots that cling to us in sin and cast away that which is draining out our energy and resources to those things that we should never have followed anyway, whether Jesus is burning away our chaff, or if Jesus is telling us we are wheat, in all of those situations we are to rejoice. Because Christ is here and accomplishing that which we need. Christ is sharing with us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that will bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that even has within it joy. It's one of the fruits. This comes from Christ who shares with us these gifts. And so that somehow what I think we're invited to recognize today is that whether or not we need God's presence in our lives, and whether or not God stands with us or against us, we are to rejoice in God's presence. If God is to works change in us and says, yep, you're doing all these things I don't want you to do, and I'm going to destroy that and raise up something new, wonderful. We are to rejoice in this. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. Even if the Lord would bring some challenges, some changes into our life, we know the Lord is good. And that God is bringing about that which we need. That God is working within us the fruit that is worthy of repentance, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These are wonderful and great things. Things to rejoice over. Indeed, it is that work of God that we celebrate today in this meal that we share. Christ draws near. The Lord is near in this bread and wine that becomes Christ's own body and blood. Here we have Christ taking away those judgments against us as our sins are forgiven. Here we know this one who can baptize us with fire and the Holy Spirit. This one who draws us back together and works victory over sin and death in our very midst. Here Christ is bringing us home into God's heavenly places, and we see a glimpse of all those others who have been brought home in Christ. All those other brothers and sisters gathered across time and space are here with us at this table. And as we experience this forgiveness, as we experience this unity, as we experience Christ's presence, we know joy. Our hearts are filled with it as we are sent forth, strengthened and nourished by this meal to celebrate and share the love of God. We are filled to the brim with joy today, knowing that God is in our midst, that God loves us, and is helping us and is strengthening us to be ready for Christ to come. As we rejoice in the Lord always, we find that we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving. We lift our voices in joyful shouts as we say, thanks be to God. Amen.